participating in the Bulldog?
I'd like to just mention my grandfather's yard site. It was Mordechai Ben Shmuleib, his 29th yard site. He was all going to see my oldest daughter when she was two. We told him right now, yeah, he had his own opinions about it. And he doesn't mean we're here in Eretz Israel, and hopefully he's right.
All right, the Shema should have an Aliyah, and we'd like to dedicate the words of Torah this morning to his memory. And I would also like to dedicate the words of Torah this morning to a legend in the Jewish world who passed away, Rabbi Avraham Tanzer Zichrono Livracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva College in South Africa. He was a legend originally from the Tels Yeshiva in Cleveland, who was sent to South Africa when it was a wasteland, and Baruch Hashem was able to find a lot of the Judaism that's there, including Yeshiva College, including much of the religious Zionist world that's extremely strong in South Africa. I had the privilege of meeting him 2 years ago, and I would like to also dedicate the words of Torah this morning to his memory, and I am sure that his legacy continues with his many students, many of them here, Al Admat HaKodesh in Israel, and of course the many in South Africa. What I wanted to deal with this morning is not, God forbid, death. We do have a law with regard to lulav, that the lulav can't be yavesh, namely it can't be dry. And the Tosfot, at the beginning of the third perek of Sukkah, quotes the Yerushalmi that says that the reason for it is what we say in the Hallel. In the Hallel it says, Lo hametim yahalleluya, the dead cannot praise God. From here we learn, said Rav Eima Cohen, that someone that's too dry is dead. So I don't like to be dry. I like to be alive and not dead. And I don't want to speak about people that are dead, but I wanted to speak about the exact middle between losing life and being awake and alive. What is in between lo aleinu, not being alive in this world, and on the other hand, being awake? Sleeping. We wake up in the morning and we thank God, thank you for giving back my soul, and I was able to wake up and not go the other way. So sleeping is somewhere in between being alive, awake, and around, and unfortunately not being alive in this world. And I wanted to deal with this morning, what is the halacha view sleeping? Is sleeping something that has credence? It's a maise, it's something, or not? And the reason I'm doing this morning, 2 days shy of Sukkot, is because we have a very interesting law with regard to Hilchot Sukkah. So we started with Lulav, we're going on to the Sukkah. Dr. Daniel spoke about the Sukkah when it rains. I'm assuming your quote, I got in the middle, but I'm assuming you quoted the Gra with regard to when it rains, it's not a Sukkah because the Schach's not functioning as such. It's not doing its job. Make
but
a long...
Based on the Rashba.
Based on the Rashba. Absolutely, the Rashba, right. So the truth of the matter is that, indeed, 1 second, Bruce, in the laws of Sukkah, we do have a law that says you have to eat in the Sukkah the main meals, namely what you usually eat at home, and you have to sleep in the Sukkah, even a nap. So we do have a law with regard to Hilcha Sukkah that you could see in the top of the source sheet, Ve'en yishinim chutz la-sukkah afilu shenat arai, ava mutar le'echol achirat arai michutz la-sukkah. So snacking is okay outside of the Sukkah, but snoozing and napping, no. So I wanted to deal with this morning a very fundamental question. How does the halacha deal with someone that's sleeping? Is he doing a mitzvah? Is he doing something? Or is he basically mute, doing nothing? Yes, Bruce. You had a question, you had your hand up. Yeah. You look like a pilot, Bruce. I must say, I love that thing that you put on your head. You look like a pilot. Very nice. Go right ahead.
We're flying. There's a matter between Rav and Shmuel where Rav says your soul literally is out there communicating with something else, out of your body perhaps. And Shmuel says, no, you're actually right where you are, but you're dozing and you're just thinking of other things. Do we hold that actually the soul leaves the body and therefore it's not in the soul and it's somewhere else? Or not, more like Shmuel, your mind is simply, your mind is in your head, you're wandering around, but you're there.
Well, let's go through the sources and we'll see exactly that particular, I didn't bring that machlokas, but we'll see it in the poskim. I wanted to deal with it with regard to Sukkah because that's, of course, going to be relevant in 2 days, and we'll see. So, indeed, we have a law that you have to sleep in the Sukkah. asks the Ran. The Ran, in the back of the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, in his Perush on the Reef, says the Ran the following. Yesh mishigores, ad she'aleh me'she'aleh amud ha'shachar. If a person was sleeping in the Sukkah and it started to rain, he has to go inside. That's not an option, that's an obligation. When you're uncomfortable in the Sukkah, then it's subjective how uncomfortable you are. I like it when it's cold, my wife likes it when it's not cold. But when it comes to rain, it's an objective get out of the Sukkah. The Mishnah says it's like God saying to you, I don't want you to be in the Sukkah. You're giving me a glass of water and I splash it back in your face. So says the Ran, if a person goes inside and he goes to sleep inside, like he's supposed to, are you supposed to wake him up when it stops raining and say, hey, it stopped raining, go back into the Sukkah? I would say, Arthur, that if he does that, Ger goes to V'samachta B'chagecha. He's not going to sing that song the next day. With due respect, when you're in a bad mood, especially because of sleep deprivation, that's not going to happen. So says the Ran, the halacha is, it all goes by Amud HaShachar. Alot HaShachar, which is what we call dawn, you need two things, says the Ran. Number one, Shiyene or achashi ale amud ha-shachar. You don't have to wake him up. If he happens to be up after alot ha-shachar, then you tell him, hey, it's a new day. The sun came out or it's about to come out because it's dawn, in between dawn and sunrise. It's dark, getting light. If you're up, go back into the sukkah. And im ala amud ha-shachar velo ne'or en mikitzinoto. But if he's sleeping, don't wake him up. He went inside beheter and he can continue doing what he does beheter. Do we have that law in other places in halacha, that if you start something in a permissible way, you don't have to stop? Anyone? Yudchil beheter, you can continue on. No one knows? Okay, this Shabbos is Sukkos. So many mitzvot in one day outside of Lulav and Esrog. So, we're going to eat three meals on Shabbos. If you start at Shalosh Shudis, before Shkia. Come Shkia, it's a suffix if it's night or day. If it's night, you're not allowed to eat. You have to make avdala before you eat. If it's day, you can continue eating. What is the halacha? If you start at Chalashudas before Shkia and comes along sunset, you can continue eating because itchalta beheter. You started beheter. This year's Purim is going to come out on Erev Shabbos here in this area. If Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, and you started your meal, and then Shabbos comes along, you don't have to stop your meal, because itchalta beheter, pores mapa, umekadesh, we'll deal with that more when we get to Sukkos, but the bottom line is, if you started beheter to eat, to sleep inside, you can finish that night's sleep, you don't have to wake the guy up. So comes the Beit Yosef, quotes the Ran, and he says, dekevan shehu yashen, en boldat latzricho lachzor. If a person's sleeping, he doesn't have da'at. If he doesn't have da'at, he's not chayav in mitzvot. He's sleeping. So therefore, you don't have to wake him up. When do you tell someone, oh, you're doing an aveira, you're doing a mitzvah? When he's alive and awake and walking around, says the Beit Yosef, dekevan dehu yashen, because he's sleeping, he has no da'at. And that moment, he can't go ahead in the Kadesh and Isha. He can't get married to a woman and say, Hareyat Mekudeshetli in his sleepwalk. No one would say it's a Chashash Kiddushin, because the person is sleeping. He has no da'at. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, much later than the Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef is 16th century. Aruch HaShulchan touches the 20th century, so he's more contemporary. And he says, Va'ot Katav, Chayav adam lemashmesh betfilov, kozban shehem alav, shelo yasiach da'ato mikem. Achim kein, no muvan, mash katav achar kach, diyashen bahem shenat arai. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Epstein, is learning the Rambam, and he says, we have a law with regard to tefillin. You're not allowed la'asiach da'at when you have the tefillin on. You have to think about the tefillin the whole time. So not going into that law this morning, everybody knows that because of that law, we have limited tefillin very much in this day and age. We only wear tefillin once a day, not all day, and we only wear it in davening. The thinking is as follows. We are living in a generation where all of us are ADHD, we don't concentrate on anything for too long. Just look at your davening this morning. If you were zocha to daven in a minyan, you could see how many phones were taken out and not to daven from. We are all the ADHD. Imagine telling someone to concentrate on his tefillin the whole time. So what do? We limit it only to davening with the thought that, oh, in davening, hopefully the person for that half an hour, 40 minutes that he davens, then he'll be able to concentrate on the tefillin. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, how exactly are you allowed to nap when your tefillin is on? Namely, you shouldn't sleep in your tefillin, but if you fell asleep, then you don't have to wake the guy up if it's a light nap. After all, he's Mesiach Dat. Says the Aruch HaShulchan Rav Epstein, and I quote, Adam ruchach lishon v'as patur mikol ha-mitzvot. When a person is sleeping, he's exempt from all mitzvot. And therefore, he's not chayav in the law of asur lahasiach dat from the tefillin. And he goes on to say, even sharper than the Beit Yosef, while the Beit Yosef says, ein bo dat, comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, it says, be'et ha-shena anachnu kemetim. When we sleep, we're like dead. We say moda'ani because we woke up from almost being dead. So if a person's dead, he's not chayiv in mitzvot. No one's going to take someone out of their grave and say, you didn't put on tefillin this morning. Even a chabadnik wouldn't do that. Obviously, a person who is sleeping is like dead. Isn't have dat? Beit Yosef, a little more, I would say, minute compared to the Aruch HaShulchan who says, the person is kemetim. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, we're talking about the great Posek who lived in Shaarei Chesed, died in 1994. I believe it was 94, maybe I'm off by a year or two. He says if someone fell asleep outside the sukkah by mistake, ain't tzarich lahakitzo, ho'il v'ayashen patur min ha-mitzvot, umitam zeni resh, imutar mi'ikar adin lo'otzi b'shaat she'nato min ha-sukkah. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if you're in the olden days, remember we used to go on Tiulim on Chol HaMoed in the olden days? I'm talking about before this lockdown, Lo Aleinu. We used to go on Tiulim. And you went somewhere and you saw a guy who really doesn't want to be there, but he's doing it for his kid. So he falls asleep. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, maybe you should wake him up. Why should you wake him up? This is not a rhetorical question, gentlemen. Why should you wake him up? He's sleeping on a rock. No one? Why should you wake him up? On a regular day of the year, you'd say, let him sleep. But Dafka and Sukkot, wake him up. Why?
Sleep out in the sukkah.
You have to, says Norman, you have to sleep in the sukkah. You're not allowed to sleep even a nap outside the sukkah. To illustrate this, I'll tell you a story. My Rebbe, Rav Amital Zichron Levracha, I used to visit him on Sukkot for many years in a sukkah. It was an experience in and of itself. I can tell you about some other time. But one of the times I was there, I asked him, if someone learns Torah in between Mincha Ma'ariv and Shul, is he mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah? And without batting an eyelash, he said, yes, you have to learn in the sukkah. There was no two ways about it. That happens to be a machlokas rishonim. If you want to look it up, Masechet Sukkah daf kaf hey amud bet, machloket Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel. But he said, absolutely. And then he said the following. He wanted to tell the rabbi of the shul not to give speeches on Sukkot. So I, not thinking, which is something I do sometimes, I said, oh, because you didn't want him to teach Torah and thus for people to learn Torah outside the sukkah? He said, no, that's not the reason. I didn't want people to fall asleep outside the sukkah. Everybody knows, the rabbi opens his mouth, the whole shul falls asleep. So the rabbi, instead of being the person bringing you closer to Judaism, is the one that's bringing you further from Judaism on the holy holiday of Sukkot, because A, you're sleeping outside the sukkah, B, you're sleeping in a shul. So if it's a regular Shabbos, sleeping in the shul, one. But on Sukkot, you're going to make everyone fall asleep outside the sukkah. In any case, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you don't have to wake him up. Why? Once he's sleeping, he's not chayav in mitzvos. In that book that I quoted from, Halichot Shlomo, there's a super peirush called Dvar Halacha, and the person says, and I quote, that a person that's sleeping is a kashote gomor, a total mental case from our perspective, namely, he's mentally challenged, he's not chayav in mitzvot, because he has a definition of shote, velo bar chiyuv ahuklal. And the whole mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah is when you're awake, you go to sleep in the sukkah. But if you're already sleeping, you don't have to wake the guy up. So we saw many sources this morning that basically said when you're sleeping, you're not chayav in mitzvot. And therefore, if you fall asleep outside the sukkah by mistake, I'm not giving you brownie points for doing it on purpose, by mistake, then, and only then, you don't have to wake the guy up. I'll just add that this year with COVID-19, lo aleinu, in full force, and we're going to be basically at home, and I hope everyone has a personal sukkah, I see no heter whatsoever. There's no reason whatsoever to fall asleep outside the sukkah. If you're on a tiyul, you're in your car, you fell asleep. If you're on a tiyul and it's boring, you fell asleep. But there's no heter this year. What's the heter to sleep outside the sukkah if you're right next to your house? I really see no heter. Okay!
I'm clear. You're saying if someone sleeps in the morning, if someone's sleeping all morning, there's no obligation through their friend to wake them up to say Shema?
That's a very, very good general question. We'll have to deal with some other time, and that is, do you force someone to do mitzvot? Theoretically, yeah, you should force everyone to do mitzvot, whether they like it or not. But we dealt with that once around this table, so if you want, we can deal with it again, but I'll send you the shir afterwards. That's a general question that we'll have to deal with properly.
Is this hour for sleeping in...
1 second, Bruce, why don't you finish?
Is this hour for sleeping in a sukkah... I'm sorry. Is this hour for sleeping in a sukkah because you have intent to go to sleep? In other words, when you enter... You can't obviously do it... I mean... Or is it like you get scarred for living in Eretz Yisrael even while sleeping?
Right.
I mean, how is...
So if a person was asleep...
You know, how is this work?
So exactly that. Yehaz says, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if and when you're awake and you go to sleep in the sukkah, then you're doing the mitzvah. But while you're sleeping, there's no mitzvah being done and you're not obligated by any mitzvah. So you're not nullifying the mitzvah of sukkah because you're not obligated in mitzvah. Very much like... If I can illustrate it, if indeed you're an onain, lo aleinu, in between the time of death and burial for a loved one that you're chayav to sit shiva for, then even if you decide, I'm going to do mitzvot anyway, it could very well be you're putter, and you obviously can't make brachas. If you put on tefillin, you can't make a bracha. You're not obligated in the mitzvah. If and when you're obligated in the mitzvah, wide awake, and you put your mattress in the sukkah and you fall asleep, then you're doing a mitzvah. But... Just to...
Well, is sleeping in the sukkah a mitzvah, or is it a, is it like a head, like you're improving on a mitzvah?
Sleeping in the sukkah is a positive mitzvah of living in the sukkah for 7 days. Living means eating in the sukkah what you usually eat at home, and sleeping, because sleeping is what you usually do at home unless you're on vacation or in a car. However, sleeping outside the sukkah is not just... Sleeping outside the sukkah is actually what we call an iser asei. An iser asei is not a lav. The Torah did not say, thou shalt not sleep outside the sukkah. The Torah said that you have to live in the sukkah for 7 days. So if you're living outside the sukkah during those 7 days, you're mevatel a mitzvat asei. Very much like if you didn't put on tefillin this morning, you're mevatel the mitzvat asei of tefillin.
Was it more like if you didn't put on tzitzit, you're not over the mitzvah?
No, it's much different. It's different. Tzitzit is a mitzvah kiyumit. Namely, you're never obligated to put on tzitzit. Only if and when you wear a four-cornered garment. Sukkah, whether you like it or not, if you want to eat potato chips all week, no problem. But if you want to eat a meal, a proper, normative meal, you have to eat it in the sukkah. Whether you like it or not. It's like tefillin in the morning. Whether you like it or not, you have to put it on. Lulav and esrog for throughout sukkahs. Whether you like it or not, you have to pick it up once during the day. So tzitzis is much different. Tzitzis is very, very different. And this Yom Kippur, we were so hot. It was 32 degrees and we were outside.
Yeah, I know, like, for example, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe did not sleep in a sukkah.
Okay.
He actually spoke about that.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one. I want a melamed zchut.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I say, because it seems very clear you have to eat and sleep in the sukkah, and sleeping is more chumer than eating, as we started this year. He explained it his way. The Rama before him explained it his way. But I have to be honest with you. If you look at the sources that they bring, it's very, in my opinion, it's not sources that you can be convinced by. And I'll just say it in one sentence. The Lubavitcher Rebbe explained something al pi Kabbalah that I don't even believe that I begin to understand, that there's an Or HaMakif in the sukkah, and how can you fall asleep when the Holy Shekhin is there? Now, if that's true, I just have one question. How can you eat and drink and speak Lashon Hara when the Holy Shekhinah is in the Sukkah? How can you get upset that there's bees when the Holy Shekhinah is in the Sukkah? So I don't understand the difference between eating and drinking and sleeping. Quite frankly, when you're sleeping, you're not doing anything wrong. When you're eating, and you can be eating without a bracha. You can be saying Lashon Hara during the meal. So that part I never understood. The Rama brings a limud zchut saying that the halacha is to live in your sukkah. Teishvu ke'ein taduru. You're supposed to live like you do at home. At home, a husband and a wife sleep in the same room. And because they sleep in the same room, says the Rama, if you can't sleep with your wife in the sukkah, it's not teishvu ke'ein taduru, and you can be inside. That's the Rama's limud zchut as to why is it that he didn't see people sleep in the sukkah. If you were in Krakow, where the Rama was the Rav, you could see that there wasn't any private sukkahs in the old Jewish quarter. Everyone had a public sukkah. So I can understand where he's coming from. There's only one problem with that Rama. The Gemara has it as a Hava Amina and rejects it. So the Hava Amina and the Gemara that was rejected, the Rama brings as a halacha. So as I said, it doesn't convince at all, in my opinion. But I'm a humble person compared to these Gedolim. I really don't see any good justification to sleep outside the sukkah. We're dealing here with a specific case in which someone fell asleep outside the sukkah by mistake. Getting back to our story, the Ben Ish Chai totally and utterly disagrees with everything we said. He said, if you're sleeping, you're chayiv in mitzvot, and I quote from the right side of the page, afilu shenat aray asur chutz lasukkah, lefichach, im orei adam chaviro bevet hakneset bitnadem be'e kriyat sefer tor v'chayotze, tzarich lo'orer oto. Bruce! You're talking about Zman Kriyat Shema. You're in shul. A guy fell asleep during Kriya Satorah. Wake him up. He has to hear Kriya Satorah. On Sukkis, he's doing an Isser. He's sleeping outside the Sukkah. So obviously the Ben Ish Chai assumes what? That even when you're sleeping, you're obligated in mitzvot and you have to wake the guy up. How do we paskin on this Shaila? If you're sleeping, are you potter from mitzvot, exempt or obligated? Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and says that, indeed, if it rains and you go home to sleep, ein matrichin oto lachzor lasukkah kol oto alayla, ela yoshen beveito atshiya le'amud ha-shachar, and the Rama ends ve'ya'or mishnato. So, the Shulchan Aruch says that you can let him sleep at home until alot ha-shachar, and the Rama is even more meikel. He comes along and says, no, alot ha-shachar, plus he wakes up. Many of us don't wake up at Alot HaShachar. When was Alot HaShachar this morning? Harold's an early comer. I know that because by the time I see him, when I go to Shachris, he's already finished his exercise. Harold, when was Alot HaShachar this morning? 5:20-something, right? So if a guy wakes up at 5:20-something, then he has to go back and... All right. 5:20. So if a guy wakes up at 5:21, back into the sukkah. If a guy goes ahead and is not up, says the Rama, let him sleep till 6, 7, 8. Bruce said, hopefully he gets up before Zman Kriyat Shema, so he can say...
It's 5:21.
Shiyeh, 5:21. Okay, I stand corrected. The guy wakes up, you tell him, hey, good morning, cup of coffee, in the sukkah. But if the guy is not up, says the Rama, you don't have to wake him. Shulchan Aruch seemed to say, Alot HaShachar, 5:21, wake the guy up and throw him back into the sukkah. But there are mazmekel, so it seems like if a person's sleeping, he's not obligated in mitzvot. The truth of the matter is, this is a subject that I have to say has no real, what I call, hachra'ah. I can find sources on both sides of the spectrum. For example, if you look at the next source on the page, Mesechet Bava Kama, the Mishnah quotes, Adam muad lo'olam, ben b'shogeg, ben mezid, ben er, ben yashen. You have, let's say, a dog. Bruce, you still have a dog?
Whiskey.
Whiskey the dog. So Whiskey the dog, hopefully single malt, he goes ahead and in the morning in his walk starts eating the grass of your neighbor. There's halachos. Do you have to pay him back? You don't. He's an animal. What does he know? When I was a kid, they used to say, and this was quoted in the famous Israel sitcom called Shtisel, that a Jew with a dog is either not a Jew or the dog is not a dog. Why? Because dogs do damage. That was the European idea about dogs. So the truth of the matter is,
my dog thinks he's our dog because he doesn't see other dogs. He sees the family. He just thinks he's one of the family.
Okay.
The kiddish. We give him a little. He washes.
Bruce, I'm well aware of it. You should know that I have many stories about being a Masada Kiddushin, but one of them was when the couple said, can the family stand under the chuppah? I said, of course. And I got to the chuppah, and you have the mommy and the daddy on both sides, and the sisters, and the brothers, and the cousins. It was a very big chuppah, and the dog. But I looked at the dog, and the chassan said, you said the family can stand under the chuppah. That was the one chuppah that I thought, any move I make, I'm attacked. So I made a bracha, mekadesh shmo barabim. No, I'm joking. Anyway, he was on a leash. But it was a very surreal chuppah, and a big dog, to say the least. Now,
who was on the leash?
Me. The truth of the matter is that that's with regard to animals. But the Gemara in Bava Kamma is very clear that if it's a person, a person's muad l'olam. A person does damage, he has to pay. So by mistake, you broke a window, you're a good person, pay for the window. A person was sleeping. He was sleeping. You know, he's had a meal, he's holding a cup in his hand, glass cup, sleeping. And you know what happens with glass cup. They look fancy, but the minute it drops, bye-bye glass cup. And the glass cup drops on the floor. Sorry, I didn't mean it. Of course you didn't mean it. You're a good person. Pay for the cup. Adam muad la'olam, even if he's sleeping. It makes no difference. Source number one, that when you're sleeping, you're obligated in mitzvot. Says the Rama, kohen shehu yashin. Says the Rama, if you are sleeping in a house with a dead person and you're a Kohen, you have to wake up the Kohen and tell him, get out, there's a dead person in the house. So, according to these sources, obviously, if you're sleeping, you're obligated in mitzvot. But not everybody agrees. Let's look at the Netziv from Volozhin. You should know the Netziv from Volozhin. He was one of the most prolific writers of the 19th century. He died in 1892. Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin. The Netziv wrote on books that we never even knew existed. The She'iltot Rav Haigaon. He wrote on the Midrashi Halacha. And he wrote a Perush on Chumash. Things that are not so normal. So, I'm quoting here from the Meshiv Dovar. That's his more normative Shelot V'tshuvot, responsum. He says, the Magen Avraham, quoted on the right side of the page, says from the Arizal, you're supposed to go to sleep at night with your tzitzis on. Would assume that if you have to wear your tzitzis when you go to sleep at night, then you're obligated in mitzvot, even when you sleep, says the Natsif, that the Magen Avraham disagreed. Why? With due respect to a medrash about David HaMelech, who found himself in a bathhouse with nothing on, and he started to say, oh my gosh, there's nothing to save me, until he said, wait, I have a Brit Milah, so I have something to save me. Says the Netziv from Volozhin, with due respect, you can't prove from here that someone sleeping needs something to save him. When he's sleeping, he's not obligated in mitzvot, versus David HaMelech in the bathhouse. He was obligated in mitzvot. Albeit, he had to take off his clothing in order to go wash himself. So from here we learn, says the Netziv, you're not obligated in mitzvot when you sleep. So we saw this morning a fascinating machloket. When you are asleep, are you obligated in mitzvot? Many poskim say no. Some more radical than the others. From the Beit Joseph saying, ein bo da'at, to the Aruch HaShulchan saying the man's like dead. I'll just say, theoretically, this shows a bit about the difference between the Sephardic poskim and the Lithuanian poskim. The Beit Joseph was a Sephardi, primary Sephardi. He obviously dealt with halacha, but he was very diplomatic compared to a Litvak who is extremely radical and says, if you're asleep, you're dead. That's it, you're dead. You wake up in the morning, whoa, you got alive. What's it like? It's like when you check in the luggage. When you check in your luggage in the olden days when we traveled, so there were two schools of thought. The first school of thought was, I check in my luggage, I expect it to be at my destination, and if it's not at my destination, I'm going to complain, and I'm going to scream, and I'm going to yell, because it's supposed to be there. That's basically the diplomatic approach. My approach was like the Aruch HaShulchan, like a Litvak. when I checked in my luggage and I said, thank you very much, I took my boarding passes. From my perspective, the luggage is lost. Lost! It's going into a big room. From the big room, it's supposed to go on the plane. From the plane, it's supposed to go onto the connection. From the connection, it's supposed to get to my final destination. There's no way in the world that that luggage is coming to me. And then when I landed, and it was actually there, it was a pleasant surprise. So, that's one school of thought. The other school of thought is, when you sleep, you're obligated in mitzvot. So if you see a guy sleeping, wake him up, throw him back into the sukkah. If indeed someone's sleeping during Kriya Satorah, wake him up, he's obligated in mitzvot. So based on this, if you turn to the second page of the source sheet, I'd like to show a nafkamina and end with this for this year. And that is the following. And this actually happened. I don't know if you ever saw this, but there are minyanim that are happening now outside, and there's different people on minyanim. You know the way it is. We see it even on the Zoom. Some people listen attentively. Some people listen with one ear and their other ear they're doing other things. Some people are listening yet not participating. And then there's always someone that's on the shir. And as the saying goes, the shir is very, very boring. So it's a good way to fall asleep. Make up some lost hours of sleep. Now, let's take the shir to the minyan. You have 10 people davening outside or in a shul. Can you start saying Baruch Hu Kaddish Kedusha Kriya Satorah if one of those people are sleeping or not? What would it depend on, gentlemen? This shows if people were listening. What's it depend on? Someone sleeping in shul. There's 10 people in the room, one is sleeping. No, can you read Kriya Satorah? Can you say Kaddish? It depends on exactly what we dealt with today. Namely, if you're obligated in mitzvot, but you fell asleep, no problem, you're part of the 10. If you're not obligated in mitzvot from being en boda to a shote, to dead, that's like saying, oh, we came to the cemetery, it's a yard site, we want to say Kaddish at the kever, I'm one person. What am I going to do? COVID-19. No problem. There's a bunch of people buried here. We'll start counting. Oh, we have 9 buried people here. And me. Yitkada v'yitkadash. No? You may think this is a theoretical question. We had a graduate in a certain community where he had a bug in his head. He's making a minion. V'yehima. So what did he do? He went ahead and he made a minion by going ahead and wheeling into the room all the people in the old age home in the seniors' residence. Some of them were in wheelchairs, asleep. Some of them were on the way to go to sleep. And he made a minyan this way. And the question is, did he do the right thing or the wrong thing? Well, let's see. And with this we conclude. I always like to conclude a shir with a proper nafkamina to what we said. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Im itchil echad mi'asara litpalel levado." ואינו יכול לענות עמהם, או שהוא ישן, אפילו הכי מצטרף. If a person davened Baruch Hu with the tzibur, and the chazan got up to Ga'al Yisroel, together with 9, 8 others, including him, 9, and this fine gentleman is still at Shema, even though by the time the chazan starts Chazorat HaShatz, he can't answer, he's mitztaref to the minyan. We won't deal with, is it proper to start Chazorat HaShatz when only 8 people are answering? Suffice it to say, even if you're sleeping, says the Shulchan Aruch, you're part of the minyan, which would assume that when you're sleeping, you're obligated in mitzvot. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, who we quoted earlier, and says, Rav Epstein, that indeed, ha'omed be'emtza tefila, mitztarev av sheino yachol afsik va'anot, ve'hatam, da'asara ba'inan, de'achle be'asara shchinata sharei. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, once you have 10 people in the room, the Holy Shekhinah of God is there, and you can say all the things you can say in a minyan. However, on the left side of the page, he says, V'yesh mi shecholek. V'svir alein de'ro mitzlaref. It's not the same. If a person's standing there in Shmone Esrei and just can't say Amen, he's obligated in mitzvot, albeit he has a little limitation right now. He's in the middle of his silent Amida. He can't say Amen to the Chazarat HaShatz. Masha'en can be Yashen. A person that's sleeping can't answer whether he likes it or not. He's sleeping. He doesn't know what he's doing because he's sleeping. Ve'od, de'almet b'tfilah, hara yosek b'tzar chishamayim, aval ha'yashin l'shato kemet ba'alma. Once again, the Aruch HaShulchan, very consistent with his point of view, says, if you are sleeping, you are like dead. So even though we have a halacha, what to do if you started the silent amida, and they started chazarat hashat, you get the kedusha, what do you do? You get to mold him, what do you do? When it comes to a sleeping man, says the Aruch HaShulchan, no dice. Sleeping? You are like dead. Versus the other point of view that says, I don't need the guy to be active. If he's a Jew, and he's in the room, he's obligated in mitzvot. Right now, he's sleeping. When he wakes up, he'll continue doing mitzvot. But right now, he's sleeping. He's a Jew. He's one of the 10 that brings the Shechina into the room. So, we can deal with this machloket specifically with regard to minyan. Is minyan active participation, or just the very presence of a minyan in a room? The presence of 10. But I would like to take it to a general point of view and say it's not just a specific machloket and minyan. It's a general machloket. How do we view people that are sleeping? Do we view them as, at this point, you're out of commission, so therefore you're not obligated in any mitzvot? Or do we view them as obligated in mitzvot, albeit at this moment they're sleeping? Wake them up, they're obligated in mitzvot. By the way, I deal with this a lot when people say in the middle of the night they wake up. They don't sleep through the night, they wake up. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, long before Alot HaShachar. And they use the washroom. They come out, do they have to say a Asher Yatzar? You know, they're half asleep. They even sleepwalking. They say it the next morning, I remember getting up, I didn't remember what I was doing. Suffice it to say, I wouldn't sign a check under those circumstances. Do these have to say an Asher Yatzar or not? The person is sleeping. And we dealt with it this morning with regard to the many that unfortunately, on Sukkot, fall asleep outside the Sukkah by mistake. Do you need to wake them up? If they're obligated in mitzvot, yes. If they're not, no. I would like to just end by saying, you see here a bit of the sensitivity of our poskim. If a person's sleeping, you have to be very, very careful and think twice. Should I wake him up or not? This happens on planes when the stewardesses have to make that big deliberation. Should I wake him up for the meal or shouldn't I? This happens when very, very pious Jews want to make minyanim on planes, which I think is a huge mistake. But if they do it and they see a guy with a kippah sleeping, they sometimes think they're doing him a big favor by waking him up. Again, this is fundamental. Waking him up, he'll wake up on time for davening shachris. He'll also daven with a minyan. On the other hand, it could very well be he's not obligated in mitzvot at this point. So waking him up could be an isser. What's the isser? Anyone? What's the isser of waking someone up if there's no reason to wake him up? You can steal money. You can steal someone's mind. You can also steal someone's sleep. It's called gezel shena. This time of the year, it's very important to tell everyone that's at a home that wants to build the most amazing sukkahs, tell them two things. Number one, you're going to build a sukkah next year, so use screws, not nails. I don't understand why, after Yom Kippur, we just said, Al-Chait, Al-Chait, Al-Chait. We had a beautiful Yom Kippur. We break our fast about an hour later. Boom, 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 boom. Everyone's banging. What are they banging for? You're going to use the sukkah next year. Use screws in after sukkah, out next year, back in. They use nails. It's like a minhag Am Yisrael. You have to bang with nails. But forget about the nails. Even if you use a screw gun, a drill, please don't do it after 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. There's no mitzvah. As a matter of fact, it could be an avera. It's a mitzvah, baba avera, mamish. So the truth of the matter is, you have to be very careful when people are sleeping, because indeed, if they're sleeping, they may not be chayiv in mitzvot, and therefore waking them up is a gezel shena mamish. Who said 11? Who said 11?
I said, on a regular working day, the hours of work is 7 to 11. You can't call anybody.
Regular days of work. It really depends on your lifestyle, but the truth of the matter is there are people that go to sleep earlier than others. And it's a huge problem, in my opinion, before Sukkot. And just have to have sensitivity. We dealt with a different question today, and that is, do you have sensitivity on the other side? The person's on Sukkot, fell asleep outside the Sukkah. Maybe you're doing him a big favor by telling him, wake up, get into the Sukkah. On the one hand, maybe he's not obligated in mitzvah, but on the other hand, we saw poskim that say he is. Yes, any other questions?
I wasn't clear. Yeah, you're in 10 men, and you want to say Kaddish, or Kedusha, requiring 10 men, but one guy is sleeping. So, I wasn't sure what to do in that case.
The Aruch HaShulchan brings two points of view. Look at the end of the source sheet, you'll see the two points of view of the Aruch HaShulchan. If someone sleeping is obligated in mitzvah, that be it. A small limitation, he can't answer Amen, or Yehesh Me Rabbah, or Baruch Hut Hashem Amvorach, he can't answer. Just like a guy in the middle of his silent Amida. Or, no, he's not obligated in mitzvot at all, he's like dead. So therefore you can't mitzdarif him. There's two deyot in the Aruch HaShulchan. It seems clear from the Shulchan Aruch, he is mitzdarif, but again, the Aruch HaShulchan brings two points of view.
No, but I always have two points of view, but which one do we use?
Which one do we use?
Can you just pick?
So I'll just take a minute, if that's okay, Rabbi Zef, and say the following about which one do we use, which I think is a very important question. Which one do we use? The answer is, when there's different points of view in Jewish law, then which one do we use will be dependent on the reality. Namely, if we're living in a perfect world, there's no reason to rely on one point of view, unlike the other, unless you're really convinced that it's true. But when you're dealing with a community in far-off Africa, where if the only way to have a minyan is to wheel in five people who are elderly, who don't even know what world they're living in, it could very well be that in that situation, you would use the other point of view, meaning halacha is a function of the books and connecting it to reality. And a good posek knows the reality well and what the books say as well. And right now in COVID-19, you can see in various circles, unfortunately in our religious world, how there are poskim that know Jewish law and lore, L-O-R-E, very well, but with regard to the reality of COVID-19, there are a bunch of ignoramuses doing damage to the Jewish people. And on the other end, you have people on the other extreme. They say, very nicely, there's a wonderful, wonderful news broadcaster of the weather. On TV. He used to be of the weather. I won't say his name. Whoever knows him knows him. He said, right before Yom Kippur, the temperatures are going to be very, very high, and therefore, if you're going to daven outside, you should drink water. So you understand. The reality he knows well. He also knows the human body well. He doesn't know the sensitivity of Yom Kippur well. So these are exactly what I call a proper posek, Bruce. You know the reality well, and you know the books well. And once you find a posek like that, stick to him, because they're rare. Baruch Hashem, we have them, but they're rare. Wishing everyone a Chag Sameach. You should all sleep in the Sukkah and eat in the Sukkah and be healthy and well and be very, very careful to keep every last regulation that our health ministry is coming out with, whether you like them, agree with them, or disagree with them. Be Machmir and Pikuach Nefesh amongst the laws. And I end with this. Do not host families over this Sukkot. Obviously, there's a reason why they said that, and I don't believe it's in any of our power to be making on Pikuach Nefesh. Be'ezrat Hashem, enjoy Sukkot, enjoy it with the families that you live with, and Amirtz Hashem, next year we'll be able to once again invite people and even come together to Bruce's Sukkah, which we like to do every year, and not only see the dog whiskey, but also drink whiskey. Until then, I'm wishing everyone a very healthy and happy Sukkot.
Thank you.
Bezrat Hashem, looking forward so far.